A government shutdown. Why did it happen? Who's to blame? And what happens next? This morning, three members of Texas's congressional delegation. Beth Van Dyne from Irving on Republican efforts to right-size the federal workforce. She's asking why Democrats oppose a continuing resolution under President Trump when they backed them before. Mark Vesey from Fort Worth defending his party, saying this is not about who's president.
This is about health care.
Claiming it is about his constituents and the cost of care. Jake Elzey from Midlothian on protecting veterans during a shutdown and that historic meeting of the nation's highest ranking military members.
I think it was a good reset and I liked what I had to hear.
Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley starts now.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. I'm Teresa Woodard for Jason Whiteley this week for Inside Texas Politics. Let's get things started with a few political headlines from all across the state of Texas. First, we've got some pretty staggering fundraising numbers from the campaign for U.S. Senate here in Texas. James Tallarico says he's made history, bringing in $6.2 million in just 3 weeks. His campaign claims it's the most anyone has ever raised in the first quarter of a Senate campaign in Texas. Tallarico, a state rep, is running against Colin Allred, a former congressman who unsuccessfully ran for Senate last year. Allred raised $4.1 million in the same time frame. We don't have any numbers yet from the Republicans who are in this race. Now let's head down to El Paso. The new congressional map that was passed by state lawmakers this summer is now in federal court there. A panel of three judges is hearing arguments in a proceeding expected to last more than a week. They will decide if the map could actually be used in the 2026 election. It was drawn to help Republicans flip up to 5 seats in their favor. And it is full steam ahead for Y'all Street. The Texas Stock Exchange officially won regulatory approval from the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. The founder calls the approval a pivotal moment. This new stock exchange will be headquartered in Dallas and should begin listing and trading in 2026. Now to the government shutdown and the impact on Texans. Almost a quarter of a million Texans work for the federal government. It is the third highest total among all states, and more are employed by the Department of Veterans Affairs than any other federal agency. Our first guest this morning is a combat veteran who spent 20 years in the Navy. Republican Jake Elzey now represents District 6, which stretches all the way from Irving almost to Lufkin. Congressman Elzey, thanks for being with us this morning. Good to see you in person.
Good to be with you.
So Republicans are framing this as purely a Democratic government shutdown. However, you know, your party controls the Senate, the House, and the White House. Do Republicans bear no responsibility here?
I always answer the spending bills issue this way. 60. It doesn't matter what we do in the House, which we already passed. We did our jobs. The Senate, for a spending bill, which is what a CR is and the appropriations bills are, require 60 votes. There are 53 Republicans, 52 typically vote for these bills. One from Kentucky does not. So we need Democrat votes. And the Democrats in the past have said a government shutdown is terrible for the economy. It's terrible for national security. Amy Klobuchar went so far as to say shutting down the government should not be a negotiating tactic. And that was in the first Trump administration. So no, this is fully the responsibility of Hakeem Jeffries and Senator Chuck Schumer, who are from New York, who are facing a left-wing revolt.
Democrats have said this is actually all about health care. And I want to read you some numbers. A study from Texas A&M said that more than 4 million Texans will face higher health insurance prices next year. They say up to 800,000 are likely to lose insurance because they can't afford it. Mm-hmm. So what would be wrong with extending the subsidies that do make the Affordable Care Act more affordable?
I think the senators are having that conversation right now, but a clean CR to keep the government open to continue to negotiate appropriations bills is what we're talking about right now. And whether people like it or not, they're trying to extend the COVID area subsidies that are going straight to the healthcare insurance companies, as well as benefits for non-U.S. citizens.
Let's talk about what's open, what's not, how this could impact veterans.
Thank you very much for bringing that up. Veterans healthcare is still wide open. All the clinics, all the hospitals, all emergent care is available right now, as are all the economic benefits, paychecks, disability payments, educational benefits. They're all going to continue because those are on advanced appropriations. And I'd like to just point out that if anybody needs help and they're a veteran or a family member of a veteran who's worried about this shutdown, call 988 and press 1, or call my office 202-225-2002. And thanks for bringing up the veterans.
On the topic of the military, of veterans, I do want to ask you, as a combat veteran, did you think it was appropriate for the government to fly all of the top-ranking officials in the military to Quantico to hear from Secretary Hegseth and President Trump?
Once I heard what he had to say, I absolutely agreed with what was going on. Nobody knew what that meeting was going to be about. They kept a very tight lid on it. But he reset the expectations of the Department of Defense, which they are calling the War Department. Officially, it's still DOD, but they want to call it the War Department. And we are manning, training, and equipment to fight and win wars. And he's resetting what the expectations are under this administration, lest there be anybody who has any question about what they are here to do. And it was approximately 800 general and flag officers and their senior enlisted advisors. I think it was a good reset, and I liked what I had to hear.
You mentioned a moment ago the Department of Defense. Some are calling it the Department of War. I understand it would take congressional action to actually change the name. Where do you come down on that?
I believe that it should be the War Department. I think that if that is our goal, and you know, going back into the past, when was it the War Department? Up until about 80 years ago, and then the reorganization of the Department of Defense made it the DOD. So it's officially still DOD. They're not replacing or spending any money on changing the letterhead, but it's very clear. And in a time of world conflict, four dictators threatening World War III, like four dictators caused World War II in the 40s, we are saying to them, we are prepared. You better not start anything because we will be able to respond decisively.
Final thing for you. Clearly, you're here in person. Do you feel like the shutdown is going to last a while? You don't feel like it's imminent for you to need to be back in D.C. to end this thing?
I think that all the troops got paid and all our federal employees got paid on the 30th. The next paycheck is the 15th. I don't believe this is going to last until the 15th. And I think every day that we're shut down, the likelihood of Republicans keeping the House in 2026 increases. So I think the shutdown will be short-lived and will reopen shortly.
Representative Elzey, good to see you this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa.
All right, let's bring in the roundtable to talk about all of this. We have Bud Kennedy from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. We have Ashley Godot, the political director at KVU in Austin, and Ian Meacher from the Texas Tribune. Thank you all for being with us, as always. Excited to have some conversation about all of this. Bud, I want to start with you. Republicans are saying this shutdown was all about Democrats trying to extend health care to people who are in this country illegally. You have Democrats who are saying, no, actually, it is about health care, but it's about trying to keep prices down. Do you believe the independent studies that say that health care prices are going to go up for millions of Texans? And will Republicans experience any blowback because of that?
You can look at the government's own website and price what your insurance will cost. If you're on an ACA plan, it'll go up at least $200-$300 a month. If you're, and that's for a normal 40-year-old with a couple of kids. If you are 61, if you're not yet on Social Security, and you're getting insurance right now for about $150 a month through the ACA, that'll go to about $900 a month. That's like buying two more cars, having two more car payments every month if these subsidies aren't extended.
All right. Do you think, Ashley, Republicans are going to experience any blowback once people start to feel these prices?
Well, that's going to depend on Democrats. I think if Democrats get the message out there that they were opposed to this, that they fought against this, and that it was Republicans who passed this bill who did not extend those cuts, then I think that there is a chance that they will see some blowback. But again, I think it's going to be in the Democrats' hands to get that message out there. Otherwise, people are not really going to know, and they're just going to continue to hear what they hear, which is probably going to be more deflecting.
All right. Ian, who's winning the messaging battle in your mind right now?
Well, certainly there's a clear message among Democrats when we're talking about affordability and talking about healthcare. These are kind of clear, you know, kitchen table issues that resonate across the board. Obviously, the bases are going to be, you know, kind of be loyal to their teams. But, you know, at the end of the day, if, you know, the message about Democrats talking about affordability, about healthcare, as at a time where people are kind of worried, you know, deeply about their pocketbooks, that's something that can kind of cut through a lot of the politics.
All right. Thank you, guys. Stay with us. We've got more from the roundtable and a little bit more news when we come back.
You heard a Republican blame Democrats alone for the shutdown. Up next, a Texas Democrat defends his party's stance. Representative Mark Vesey on keeping Texans insured and what office he plans to run for in 2026. Plus, we ask Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne if the cost of living in Texas will ever come down when Inside Texas Politics returns. Democrats have traditionally opposed government shutdowns. So what was different this time? Is it who's in the White House? Congressman Mark Vesey says no, it is health care. Vesey represents parts of Tarrant and Dallas counties. He spoke with us from Fort Worth. Congressman Vesey, thanks for being with us this morning.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Why did you vote against keeping the government open? Why did you vote against the continuing resolution?
I voted against the continuing resolution because it's going to cause thousands and thousands of people in the DFW Metroplex to lose their health care coverage. And that's unacceptable to me that people in really rich places like Highland Park and Westover Hills and Fort Worth will be able to keep their insurance. But the guy that owns a dry cleaners or a garage and is trying to take care of his family and keep affordable health care insurance, that he won't be able to keep his, and he'll have to get all of his treatment done at the emergency room at Parkland or JPS. That's just unacceptable to me.
There are a lot of Republicans who are saying right now that the government is being shut down and because Democrats want to give health care to people who are in this country illegally. How do you respond to that claim from the Republican Party?
Oh, no, I think that's the most dishonest thing that they've said in this entire debate. They know that there's no one in this country that is receiving any of these healthcare tax credits, or if you want to go all the way back to the big ugly bill, Medicaid in this country that's undocumented. They absolutely know that.
Couldn't Democrats have said, okay, we'll go ahead and fund the government, but we're going to keep negotiating on health care? I guess my question to you is this only about health care, or is it also about your party trying to stand up to the president?
This is about health care. This is about people that live, again, in the district that I represent, where you have thousands of people, over 40,000 people in District 33 alone, that will lose their coverage or see their coverage increase if we don't do something about these tax credits, these health tax credits, and get them restored. And so this, to me, this is about healthcare. We already have close to a million people, or already over a million people total in the DFW area that don't have insurance. Why would we want to exacerbate that?
The new congressional map passed in Texas is being debated in court right now in El Paso. That will certainly impact you. Have you made any decisions about what next year is going to look like for you when it comes to what you're going to run for?
I'm like everybody else. I'm waiting to see what is going to happen with this decision. I feel very confident that if the Supreme Court is going to uphold the law, that we're going to be victorious when it comes to this case. And of course, that'll give everybody clarity on where they're running, what they're doing, not just me, but I do plan on running for re-election and being a member of Congress going into 2026. I feel very confident in this trial and planning on running for re-election, period, end of story.
So you feel confident that the map that was passed won't go into effect?
I don't believe that it will. I think that we're going to win this case.
Representative Mark Vesey, thank you so much for your time. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thank you.
A pause in paychecks for federal workers during a shutdown, no matter how long or short, is painful, especially as prices remain frustratingly high. We took our cost of living questions to Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne, a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. Her district stretches from North Tarrant County to East Dallas. Representative Beth Van Dyne, thank you for being with us this morning. We appreciate your time as always.
Great to be with you. I appreciate you. Appreciate you having me on.
On the White House homepage, they posted a ticking clock that says, quote, Democrats have shut down the government. My question for you is, should your voters not hold Republicans responsible at all?
Well, look, I think most of my voters aren't even going to know that we're in a government shutdown, to be quite honest with you. Republicans did not want a shutdown. You know, especially Republicans in the House We voted for a clean, simple CR. The president has tried to negotiate a clean, simple CR, which is something that Democrats have voted for over a dozen times. And that's at the expense of, you know, again, 1.3 million active military members not getting their pay. Thousands and thousands of Homeland Security and CBP folks and Coast Guard people not getting their pay, 100,000 federal law enforcement officers not getting paid.
You talked about people who are not getting paid. Add to the list TSA, air traffic controllers. Clearly they continue to work.
13,000 air traffic controllers, yeah.
DFW Airport is part of your congressional district. What steps are you taking to make sure that, you know, safety remains top of mind, efficiency as well?
This is the problem with the government shutdown, is Congress basically relinquishes all control of the agencies to the executive branch. And that's what's happening. But I think, you know, we've had enough conversations with folks like Russ Vogt, with the president, with J.D. Vance. They understand they do not want the American people to have to take the punishment of Democrats shutting down the government. And so they are prioritizing those forward-facing agencies like TSA, like Social Security, like VA, and making sure that they're getting as many resources as possible. But at some point in time, if this goes on, you know, they're going to have to rethink. And I think that's what you're seeing Russ Vogt, you know, talk about now is, and the president talk about now is right framing, right sizing the government and taking this opportunity, if Democrats are going to hand it to him, to actually have, you know, potential layoffs.
You're a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. I'm sure when you go out and speak to your constituents, you hear the same type of thing that news reporters hear. And that is that a lot of people are just saying the cost of living is high. Prices are going up. It is hard to afford to live in North Texas right now. Do you see any relief in sight for prices and affordability for North Texans?
Quite honestly, what we're hearing, too, is people are looking for new job opportunities, which is why, as you know, one of the things that we do to be able to respond to that is have a job fair. We saw over 35,000 people, 35,000 North Texans attend this, because it's one thing to pass a bill that has work requirements for things like Medicaid, but it's quite another to be a member of Congress and to come home and say, not only are we going to have work requirements, but we're going to help you find a job. But look, people are hurting. I think this is why you are seeing Congress respond and Congress act. As you mentioned, I'm on the Ways and Means Committee. One of the things that we've been working on for the last 2.5 years was that working families tax cut bill to make sure that we are bringing businesses back. We are onshoring them after they've gotten kicked out to places like China, Vietnam, Thailand, Taiwan. We want to bring those jobs back.
Representative Beth Van Dyne, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
We've got more roundtable when we come back. Besides a shutdown, there's a lot of other news to talk about across the state of Texas. I want to start this question with Ashley, a hearing to determine if Texas's new congressional map to be used in 2026, now underway in El Paso. Congressman Mark Vesey tells us he's adamant this map is not going to go into effect, that he will run under the previous map. What are your thoughts on this hearing, and what exactly is going to happen with this new map?
I don't think anyone knows what's going to happen with this new map. I think it is interesting that we could get an answer before the midterms, considering the fact that we have another lawsuit about the previous, you know, map still playing through the courts right now. What I think was interesting, though, was that the Democrats and Republicans sort of switched arguments. You know, whenever these maps were being passed, the Democrats said, you're doing this purely for partisan gain. And initially, there was this letter from the DOJ that says the current maps were drawn with racial considerations, which is unconstitutional. And now they flip-flopped in court, right? So now you have the Republicans saying, no, this was all about partisan gain, which is perfectly legal. And the Democrats saying, well, wait a minute, you said that this was about that DOJ letter. So who knows how this is all going to shake out, but it is certainly interesting to watch.
Yeah, it is soap opera level drama that's going on for sure. All right, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about higher education in Texas. And Ian, I want to address you with this question first. The Trump administration offering 9 universities across the country, including UT Austin, additional federal funding, but that's only if they sign a deal that caps international student enrollment and freezes tuition, but also adheres to a very strict definition of gender. Do you think this is an attempt to fundamentally change higher education in America?
Well, this certainly could lead to a major inflection point for higher education too. And obviously, you know, the University of Texas system is a huge system and has a lot, you know, it has a lot of impact too. So, you know, this separate the issues that we're talking about too from the actual aspect of funding tied to this. And it can, you know, there's going to be some questions too about the whole aspect of autonomy for university systems, academic freedom and institutional diversity. So, you know, and how far does this go in terms of, you know, will others, you know, other universities follow, how the state will go? Certainly there'll be legal challenges with this, but it's going to be an interesting thing in terms of the whole aspect of funding tied to this type of work.
Bud, do you think this is a slippery slope?
Well, you know, most of the rules are rules that a university could follow to get a lot more research funding. But there's one rule in there that you can't belittle conservative principles. And, you know, that doesn't seem to be content neutral. That doesn't seem to be what universities stand for or promote freedom of speech or discussion. I think that's going to be a big problem for universities.
And Ashley, you know, it also includes a, quote, vibrant marketplace of ideas, protection of free speech. That's something that the deal includes. But we know that students across the state of Texas and some professors faced punishment because of things they posted or said or did after the murder of Charlie Kirk. So do you think that this protection would apply to them as well?
Well, I think what we're seeing, it's complicated, Teresa. What we're seeing right now is the definition of free speech and how you can exercise free speech is really being challenged, I think, all across this country. And I also wonder at what point does state politicians, do Republican leaders get involved with this? UT is a state institution. So are they really going to have the freedom that they think they're going to have to even make these decisions?
All right. Great questions still to be answered. Ashley, Ian, Bud, thank you so much for all of your great insight. And thank you, everybody, for watching. Hope you have a great week ahead.